before we do that, stand up one more time and let's pray together right now. Pray out loud with me. Are you ready? Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open. My heart is ready for what you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us right where we are. We thank you that as we approach your word today, Lord, that you do. You touch us and minister to us right where we are. And we thank you, Lord, that we have a better understanding of what it means to wait on the mind of the Lord. And, Lord, we just give you praise and we give you thanks right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. It's really good to see everybody today. Amen. This is probably the most important message of my life. And every message is important. But this is a message that I have held on to since the first time I heard it preached at Redemption Church, Redemption Christian Center, back in the day when I was there, Pastor Ed King. And when he ministered this, I got the cassette tape. Yes, I'm that old. Hallelujah. How many of you had an 8-track player too? Glory to God. Amen. And but I would take that cassette tape and I would wear it out and I would listen to it forwards and go back and rewind it and listen to it again and take down these things. What I'm going to share with you today will make you more stable than anything imaginable. You know, we have the victory, we have the blood, we have the name that's above every name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. We have those things, but you got to understand what it means. This is real maturity, what I'm going to share with you today. What it means to know the mind of the Spirit, to wait on the mind of the Lord. When you understand the things of the Holy Ghost, you begin to grow in ways that you just don't, you can't imagine the depth that comes into your life and the stability that comes into your life when you know what I'm going to share with you today, okay? And this, we're going to close the message out today is my plan. So get ready to write things down. If you have a note page, our greeters handed them out to you. There's lines on the back. All the scriptures are right here and several of the points. So let's get right to it. As we've been sharing with you, we talked originally as we started the series on true success in Jeremiah 29:13 in the Living Bible. It says, you will find me when you seek me. That's a key. You want to know God? You better seek him. You put him first. And I love the last part it says in the Living Bible, if you look for me in earnest. Earnest. Amen. You got to look for him. You got to study to show yourself approved. Amen. The Amplified Bible reads Jeremiah 29:13. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me. And I love this. As a vital necessity. You need to require God as a vital necessity for your life. He needs to be the most important thing. More important than your TV. More important than your phone. More important than social media. More important than YouTube. You need to seek after God and require him as he is the most vital necessity of your life. He is the air you breathe. He is your all in all. If he's not, then he's not in command. And if you want victory to flow, if you want to have stability to grow, then you need to let him be in command. You need to require him as a vital necessity. Amen. Amen. It goes on, it says, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Write those verses down. If you got your phone, take a picture of it right now. But hold on to those verses because that's how you should live life every day. I said that's how you should live life every day. That should be the first thing. That should be your bread and butter. Amen. It's important. So let's talk about this. This is my favorite thing to share. But let's talk about this. You know, we read in John chapter 16, we're talking about waiting on the mind of the Lord. In John 16 and verse 13, Jesus gives us two, and you need to write these down today, Jesus gives us two major ways that the Holy Ghost leads and guides you. Jesus personally was given the disciples, and he's given you, so that you understand, two major ways that the Holy Ghost leads and guides you. He said here to the disciples, and he's saying it to you right now, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. You got your Bible? You should have a Bible you can underline in, make notes in, write it to the side, underline it. He will guide you into how much truth? All truth. He will show you what? Things to come. There's two things there we see that Jesus spoke. He'll guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. Amen. Those two categories, truth and things. The Holy Spirit will first guide you into all truth. And that truth, if you want to write it down, is the Word of God. That truth is the Word of God. That is the major way that he leads us. The Holy Spirit will take the promises of God and quicken those in your heart, in your life, in your spirit when you need direction. This is why you seek after God with all your heart. You make him your vital, that he is your vital necessity. So when things happen, all of a sudden it pops into play what you need. That verse that you memorized when you didn't need it, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Most High God brings it up on the inside when you do. And it keeps you strong. And it keeps you stable. Amen. And we got a world of goofiness right now. You need the Word. The Word will lead you and guide you. And the Holy Spirit takes those promises, that Word, and he quickens it in your heart. But Jesus also said in this verse that the Holy Ghost would show you things to come. Look at your neighbor and say, he's showing me things to come. Amen. See, this is where we get specific guidance. And you ought to write that down. This is where we get specific guidance. The Word gives us general truth, the promises, the principles and promises that apply to all of us as believers. But it's the Holy Spirit that also speaks to us as individuals about a particular direction that we're supposed to take in life, or a particular thing that we may need to do. He speaks to us. He leads us. He guides us. So understand, there's general guidance from the Word of God. There's general guidance from the Word of God. The primary way that the Holy Ghost speaks to us is through His Word. Say that with me. Say, the primary way that the Lord speaks to me is through His Word. You need to get that, or you just might as well go play jacks out on I-240 at rush hour. The specific way He leads you is from the Word of God. You need to know the Word. You need to know His Word. Because if you know His Word, you'll learn more about His character in your life that you really need more than anything. See, the primary way that He speaks to you is through the Word. In fact, we read in Scripture, Psalm 119, verse 105, your Word is a what? A darkness to my feet? Huh? It's a closed curtain that I cannot go through? No. His Word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. That's powerful. See, God's Word gives you general guidance as a believer. I mean, for example, is it scriptural to have a job? Amen. Yes. The Bible talks about it. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Hello? If you don't work, you don't eat. Is it scriptural to have a job? I'll ask you again. Yes. Is it scriptural to get married? Yes. Is it scriptural to walk in love? Yes. Is it scriptural to walk in integrity? Yes. Yes, absolutely. But you won't find the name of the employer you're supposed to work for or your spouse's name written in the Bible, will you? See, there's general guidance from the Word that you need in your life to keep you stable. Everybody say, I'm stable. There's general guidance that you need from the Word to keep you stable. Amen. The Holy Ghost speaks to us through His Word. You know, the Holy Spirit will guide you through the truth of God's Word first. And He'll bring specific scriptures to your mind that speak to your situation. How many of you have had scriptures come to you when you're in a situation? Amen. And it just comes up, you know, and you just know, oh, that's the Word of the Lord for me. And it's the God's Word speaking to you. That's why I journal Scripture. It's why we gave you this book. And there's just a few left back there. Christmas in July, there's a couple presents still left. If you didn't get this book, go get it. But this book gives you the opportunity to journal and answer questions because it helps you grow in the things of God. You need that. Amen. You need to know the path of that Word in your life. He brings specific scriptures to your mind in your situation. They come up on the inside in your spirit. I mean, you just don't want to make the mistake of thinking, well, was it just me or was that the Holy Spirit? Listen, if you know the Word, you'll know that it's Him. You'll know that it's what He said. How many of you know it's what He said that counts? Amen? I mean, listen, if you're not smart enough to think of a scripture at just the right time, out of over 7,000 promises in God's Word, then that's not the Holy Ghost leading you, that's your flesh. You get me? You need to know the Word so you don't get off track. You need to know the Word so you don't get off track. Amen. There's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. Do you know all of them? Have you written them all down? Have you decided you're going to take time and write down all those promises so that you know backwards and forwards what He said about you? See, that'll keep you stable when all hell's breaking out. That gives you faith to stand. Amen. Because you are allowing that One to be in command. His name is Jesus. Amen. Are you catching this today? It's the most important message of your life right here. This keeps you stable when the storm comes. Amen. This keeps you stable when you lose your job. This keeps you stable when the doctor comes and gives you a bad report. This keeps you stable when something happens and you got to pay $17,000 for an air conditioner. It keeps you stable. That's what we did. Amen. Keeps you stable. So you don't run around trying to pick up your cheese because it keeps, you put it on the cracker and it just keeps falling off. You know the Word so you can squeeze super glue on that cracker and slap that cheese right on it so it doesn't fall off anymore. Amen. You need specific guidance from the Word, and if you don't know it, you're blind as a bat. Amen. You need to know the truth of the Word. It is vital, it is important, it is the key to true success in your life. Amen. See, it's the Holy Ghost that guides you through that truth. Amen. 7,000 promises, you ought to know something about what He says about you. Amen. So we have general guidance through the Word of God, but another thing that Jesus talked about was we have specific guidance for things to come. Say that with me. I have specific guidance for things to come. Say it again. I have specific guidance for things to come. Amen. You know, after the Holy Ghost leads you into the Word and you know things about the Word, you know what? The more you know the Word, then He'll reveal things to you of things to come. This is where specific direction comes in play. When you where were you supposed to work at? This is where specific guidance comes in. Who are you going to marry? This is where specific guidance comes in. You have peace. You know things about Scripture, so you know things about integrity and character of the person you're about to marry. This is where specific guidance comes into play. when you have an opportunity to make a decision that you're going to move from the east all the way to the west because God's leading you, because you know what He said, and the Holy Ghost through that specific direction is speaking to you. Amen. Which church to attend? What should you do about the new job? Which house should you buy? Is this a good deal when you're buying a car? These are things to come. These are things you need to know the Word about so the Holy Ghost can bring things to you when you need it the most. Are you with me? If the doctor comes in and say you have a tumor in your back, like I did, and it's on your sciatic nerve, and the tentacles of that thing, like a squid, are wrapped all around those nerves. Couldn't walk 5-10 minutes and not have to sit down and be hurting so bad. Taking a deep breath just trying to walk. Didn't know how bad it was till we went to Europe and was walking through France, and Melissa walks faster than I do. I could hardly keep up. When we went up the Arch de Triomphe going up those steps all the way to the top to get to the top of that thing, I don't know how many times I had to stop, but it was a lot. When you're hurting, you know what? The Word is what comes to my mind. But praise God, they took the tumor out, and I'm good now. Amen? You with me? Amen. You know, the day of the surgery, Melissa, I got real quiet. And you know, I'm not real meaty in my legs or my arms when it comes to flesh. And you know, the nurse came in and they're going to start me up, and she had to look for a deep vein. Big old long needle. Went down into my leg, I think. And she got it out in a main artery, got me all set up. That was a joy, let me tell you right now. They don't numb that, they do that. They just do it. Everybody say, just do it. But she was all smiles and cute and nice, but man, she was painful. But Melissa asked me why I was so quiet. You know, I had a dream that night that that the doctor was going to come in and tell me I would never walk again. Was that dream from the Lord?
No.
Why? Because what? It didn't come true, but how do I know it's not real? Somebody's saying it. Say it louder. Because I know what the Word says. Do you understand? I got quiet. Because in my mind, from the moment I woke up that morning, I was speaking the Word over my body. I might not have been saying it out loud at that given moment because I didn't want to give mouth. I didn't want to give words to my fear that was trying to grab a hold of me. Because that fear wasn't mine. That fear was from the enemy. Yeah. See, if you don't know the Word, you just believe anything you're told. Yeah. You'll take it as gospel fact when it's the devil.
Amen.
And not the Word. This is why you need to know the Word. Of course, we've told the story, you know, he came in, I don't know how many times, hollering at me to move my foot after a long time in surgery. Had no idea he had to dig around in there and pull out every piece of this tumor. But I woke up just enough after whatever time he came in, however many times, where I could move my feet. And Melissa said he had the biggest grin come on his face because he knew he'd accomplished his goal. Amen. You know, when I was a young man, I decided I was going to graduate high school early. Honestly, at the time, I hated high school. I hated the cliques, the crowd, everything. I decided to go to summer school for 2 summers in a row. And I graduated as a junior from Maryville High School. And it was hard, but I wanted to go on to Bible college at the time. And that summer of my junior, senior year, I mean, there was just a real move of God in my heart. I wanted to fulfill the destiny that I knew God had spoken to me. I had specific things from the Word that I knew I was called, and I knew what I wanted to do. I had visions and dreams of what I wanted to accomplish. But at the same turn, I didn't have specifics. I had no idea how I would get to there. I knew when I went to Bible college that I was going to pastor one day. I didn't put that first, but I knew at one time, sometime in the future, that would happen. But I didn't have specifics about that. But as you step things out and you're walking according to the Word, then the Holy Ghost starts talking to you. That's how doors opened up when I was in school. That's how doors opened up after I took the first position in ministry, the second position in ministry, the third position in ministry, the fourth position in ministry. But those things came as I walked on the Word. Are you with me? And every time I got closer to the next step, then I heard specifics from the Holy Ghost. I heard specifics from the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's why we're where we are today. Amen. See, we got to follow after those things. I need guidance from the Word, but I need specific guidance for things to come. You know, think about this. You know, this pattern shows up throughout the New Testament of the things I'm sharing with you. Like Peter. Peter had plenty of general guidance from the Word. But there were times that the Holy Ghost showed him specific things. In Acts chapter 10, God revealed to Peter that Cornelius' servants were coming to his house. And Peter, who was in Joppa, was told to go to Caesarea and minister there. And tremendous things took place because he followed that specific guidance, but yet knowing he's doing what the Word said. Paul, the Apostle Paul, on the second missionary journey that he had, he experienced specific guidance. After ministering in Galatia, he tried to go on to another place. But the Holy Ghost, if you read it in the book of Acts, said, no, no. And then he decided, you know, I could go minister in Asia. And then from as he prayed and as he began to step that way, the Spirit, if you read in the Scriptures, it said the Spirit forbade him to go. First time it was no. Second time it was strong. He forbade him to go. No way. So Paul kept going where he was going. And this is a good example for you to pay attention to here. This teaches you maturity. As Paul kept going, he tried to go to Asia. The Holy Ghost forbade him to go. And then he just kept going west until he came to Troas. And he probably walked right into the Aegean Sea and got his ankles deep in the water. And as he stood there, he said, Lord, listen, unless I can walk on water, I need to know what I'm supposed to do next. And that night, see, Paul is a good example. He waited. He didn't panic. He waited. And that night he had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over here. And the result, folks, was the greatest revival of the New Testament in the city of Ephesus. Which brings me to my point today that you need to grab hold of. The importance of patience and waiting on the mind of the Lord. You need to know the Word like it's the most important thing in your life. It is your bread and butter. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost just as much as you spend time in the Word. For even at work, you can be praying in the Holy Ghost with your mouth closed. You need to keep yourself stirred up in the things of God. Why? It helps the Holy Ghost be able to work through you. Remember, victory comes when you are following the one who's in command. Healing comes when you're submitting to the one who's in command. Victory always comes when you submit to the one who's in command. But the importance of patience is a mind-blowing thing. And I can't tell you enough in my life how many times I wanted God to hurry up and get me there. Didn't happen overnight. I said it didn't happen overnight. How many of you can testify it didn't happen to me overnight? Come on. And you know, back during when you're going through something, you're getting frustrated on the inside. It's your flesh talking. That's because the one that should be in command is not. and you're giving up your patience for fret, for worry. But the one who's in command's got it all cool. Got it all stable, right? See, many times, waiting on the Lord requires a degree of patience, but I think this is a better word, and people don't like this word. So write it down, because you need to hear this today. Because you're going to have to do this all your life. Once you conquer one mountain, you're going to have to do it again. Once you conquer tunneling through a rock, you get to do it again. Once you get through that rock, maybe you got to go through granite to get to where you got to go. But you get to do it again. You ready? Waiting on the Lord requires you to develop patience. Develop patience. Say, Pastor, come on. That's not encouraging me today. I know. But maybe you need to grow up a little bit. Hello? Hello, McFly, are you there? All of us need to develop patience. And we don't like it. But even James wrote, let patience have its what? Perfect work. Read that this afternoon, that chapter. See, in Hebrews here, it says, Hebrews 10:36, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promises. God's will is His what? Word. Say that with me. Say, God's will is His word. Therefore, I need to know the word. You catching this? After you have done the will of God, what's the will of God? The word. After you have done the will of God, what's the will of God, church? The word. Then it says you might receive the promise. All the promises. You know, sometimes you got to develop patience to get to that place where you're receiving and walking in greater things. Amen. Takes work. W-O-R-K. Got to work. Got to develop. Got to grow. Inch by inch. Day by day. Amen. But here's the point this morning. You need to get this. Guidance from God is a mark of maturity. And part of that maturity is learning to wait. Big smile on your face like a used car salesman in the South. Say amen. 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 Guidance from God is a mark of maturity. And part of that maturity is learning to wait. Amen. You ever been with somebody and they're just absolutely impatient? Right? I had a restaurant get mad about anything. Dealing with something you shouldn't. I've had to learn patience all my life. Are you listening to me? My mom was not patient at times. Driving. Oh, I get really impatient about left lane drivers. I had to go to the... I chose to go because I was invited. But I went into the prayer meeting we had at the Bartlett Police Department this past Tuesday. And I walked up front, and one of the officers there, he's become a good friend. We were just talking, and I said, man, what do you think about Highway 64 early in the morning? He looked at me and went, ah! Because everybody drives in the left lane doing 50. And the speed limit's 65. And they won't get over. They're violating the law, I told him. He says, I know. I go, won't you do like Oklahoma does and enforce it? I go, if you deputize me, I'll do it. I will flat do it. Because if you're inhibiting the flow of traffic, you're breaking the law. No matter how fast they're going, you're breaking the law. You're supposed to move over. But we had this conversation. And what's this got to do with the message? A lot. we're talking, we're laughing, we're cutting up about it, and we got in the room and just praying praying over the needs of the city of Bartlett and Chief Cox. Man, I love our police chief here in Bartlett. Godly man, loves the Lord. Him and other officers praying out loud. That's just so remarkable. He was giving testimony how there's multiple Bible studies among the officers that have taken place. Part of it started when we gave them all Psalm 91 book for first responders. Wow. And we gave him Tony Cook's book. All the officers got a copy of Tony Cook's book on The Lord is My Shepherd. Yeah. There's a move of God taking place in the police department in the city of Bartlett. But the thing is, you know, when we were talking about all the things driving in, because this one officer lives near where we live, and his wife that he married, their family had land and farm and all that. That's why they live there. But we're just talking about how good it is that you know the word, because it keeps you patient. Keeps you patient. We work on that patience because it helps you receive more when you're patient. Amen.
Amen.
You can receive greater things when you're patient.
Amen.
Because guidance from God is a mark of maturity, but part of that maturity is learning to wait. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday, Miss Doris.
Amen.
Amen. How old are you now?
91.
91. Still serving Jesus. Amen. Give her a big hand. Amen. What a blessing. The Lord is good. Teaching you new things every day.
Amen.
Amen. But see, we learn patience all of our life. Miss Doris, could you testify you've learned patience all your life? It's true. It's really true. See, the Lord seldom is early, but the Lord is never late. Amen. There were times in our life and in my life before I met Melissa where I thought the bottom was going to fall out. Deadlines were not coming in at the right time, and I thought for sure that I'd missed it. Has anybody ever been in that place where you feel like you have missed it? You're messing around. You're not getting where you need to be. You feel like you made a mistake. See, that's the devil working you over. I know the word. I'm going to submit to the one who's in command. He said he'd never leave me and what? Never forsake me. If you get this today, and you need to listen to this message over and over, it'll keep you stable every day of your life. Listen to what I'm saying as we wrap this up. God spoke at the right time in our lives. Waiting on the mind of the Lord develops your spiritual muscles. It helps you grow in Him. It helps you maintain peace, security, and a countenance of joy that's not only on the outside, but joy that's on the inside. Amen. Think about Elijah, if you would. God sent him to the brook Cherith, and there he was to be fed by the ravens and drink from the brook. But then one day, all of a sudden, the brook dried up. And it didn't say that it was drying up over time. It says all of a sudden it dried up. All right? So he had a specific guidance to that point, but then suddenly it had dried up. Did Elijah panic? When you read the scripture, you don't see him panic. Did he panic and leave on his own? No. What did he do? He stayed. He stayed until the Lord spoke and gave him the next assignment. See, folks, that's maturity. That's waiting on the mind of the Lord. That's knowing His voice, knowing His promptings, knowing His guidance, because you know His Word. And He'll do what? Never forsake you. Never leave you alone. Amen. It's a simple thing, but so many of us override it all the time because we have need of patience. In Leviticus 24, here's a good one. Moses faced a situation that wasn't covered in the written law. There was a young boy whose mother was a Jewish woman and whose father was an Egyptian. And they got into a fight and blasphemed the name of the Lord in front of the whole congregation, is what it says. No law had been given about how to deal with this, how to handle it. What did Moses do? Lesson in maturity here. Moses, you know what he did? He put the boy in custody until he got the mind of the Lord, and until he could understand, and the mind of the Lord was known to him, then he could make a decision. But see, that's wisdom. Everybody say, that's wisdom. See, Moses, get this, folks, because the church today is nuts on this one point. Moses didn't jump to coincidences, didn't jump to conclusions, didn't jump to things that aren't in Scripture. Moses stayed stable and stuck to the path, stuck to the plan. Moses followed the Lord's instructions. See, folks, we need a place like that. And you know, I say this graciously, but we need a place like a cell where we can throw all of our troubles in there and lock them up and quit trying to fret over them and quit trying to make decisions over things that we don't have the mind of the Lord on. Let them stay there. Let them stay there. Amen. When you got a bunch of problems, a trunk load of trouble, until you got the mind of the Lord and it's made known to you. Don't pull the problem out every 5 minutes and fret over it. Wait on God. Wait on the Holy Ghost. Which brings me, I think, to as we close right here, the most powerful point of this whole message. And this one you need to write down. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Spirit of God and the Word of God always agree. You know, when Jesus talked about the Comforter coming, one of the things he said, he will speak of me. What he speaks will be from me. And you'll know. That's a real key. He'll speak of me. Amen. See, the Spirit and the Word always agree. Now curl your toes up. Pastor loves you. But some people say, well, I'm led by the Word. Glory to God. And others say, well, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. The truth is, we're led by both. And the truth is, they always agree. They always agree. Say that. They always agree. Say it. The Word and the Spirit always agree. Say it again. The Word and the Spirit always agree. See, if you think the Holy Spirit's telling you something that contradicts the Word of God, you're not hearing from the Holy Ghost. You're hearing from some other spirit. Or you're in the flesh, one or the other. The Word and the Spirit always agree. Amen. Amen. Give you some scripture. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, God has exalted His Word above His name. Boom. Jesus said in John 17:17, your word is what? Truth. He said that when he's praying over you. Your word, Father, is truth. Amen. Glory to God. Notice, it isn't limited to pastors and prophets or evangelists. God promises to guide all His people. Male and female, young and old, rich or poor, whether it comes through prophecy or a dream or a vision or a simple inward knowing on the inside, that inward witness, the Holy Spirit will guide you and it will agree with the Word. Amen. And then look at this verse. In Acts 2:17, the Bible says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon how much? All flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. Woo, I love that. Amen. It's not intended just for all the fivefold ministry or all that. No, it's intended for you. It's intended for you. Amen. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you. Amen. But again, you need to require God to search for Him as if it's your only breath. Amen. Like we read in the beginning of this series in Jeremiah, He's everything. Let Him guide you. And the last scriptures here, Psalm 27:14. We're talking about waiting for the mind of the Lord, right? Well, Psalm 27:14, this has been a big verse in my life ever since I got a hold of this hearing Pastor King preach this message. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, wait on the Lord, be encouraged, and He will what? Strengthen your heart. And then he repeats, wait, I say. On who? On the Lord. Amen. Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce what?
Patience.
Glory to God. There's that word. Produce, develop. Things happen. How many of you know that? You can't freak out over trouble. No. You're always going to go through, that Pepto-Bismol time. Right? Maalox, whatever. But you're going to go through those things. And you got to learn just to relax and giggle a little bit. You know, not like you're crazy. But, I mean, you just got to learn to laugh about it. I mean, if you laugh about it, you'll walk free from it. That didn't cost you anything. That's a good word right there. That's what thus saith the Holy Ghost for you right now. If you laugh about it, you'll walk free from it.
Amen.
Ha, ha, ha. If you laugh about it, you'll walk free from it. Woo! Not only that, but we glory in tribulations. When there's trouble, that's all that word means, trouble. Trouble, when there's trouble. Why do I glory in it, laugh about it? Well, I know that tribulation is producing patience in me. I'm developing my walk with the Lord and getting stronger every day. Amen. James 1:3, the testing of your what?
Faith.
Faith produces what?
Patience.
Woo, that's such good preaching, Pastor. Wow. Thank you. Amen. I'm going to come preach to you. Amen. I mean, you got to understand this. I mean, Word of Faith movement, we tend to not want to hear these kinds of things. Come on. We love the blessing.
Yeah.
We love the hoop and holler.
Yeah.
We love to do all that stuff that we really think we need more of, but really you need more patience so that you can walk in greater victory.
Amen.
Praise God. Pastor, that's the sweetest message I ever heard. But see, you need to understand these verses in particular, they're in your handout, but write down what I'm telling you right here. This is what God wants. This is what God wants for you. More than an answer for your problem, God wants your character to develop while you are waiting on the mind of the Lord. That's condemnation. That's not lack of faith. That's not a lack of victory. That is victory. He wants you to grow up and pull your britches up yourself and quit being a beggar about it. He wants you to stand up in faith. Whew. If your britches are falling off, go buy you a pair of suspenders and hold them up. And bless God, I got this because the Lord's got it. See, you're growing in it. You're growing in it. Amen. Gosh, can you imagine a farmer planting tomato plants or strawberries or I'm saying all the things I love, or green beans or peaches or bananas. Glory to God. Can you imagine a farmer planting all that stuff overnight and then the next day come out in the middle of the field and just fall down in all the dirt and cry and pull his hair out because it didn't produce? What does it take for things to grow? Time. Also takes work. I love my front yard, my flower beds, but let me tell you something. 80% work, 20% enjoying it. That's good. Most of us don't want to go out and pull the weeds out of your garden. You want all the good things, but you don't want to work. And if you don't work and develop patience, you won't hear the mind of the Lord talking to you. 80% work to have a rose come up looking pretty. To have a lily come forth. We planted these lilies a couple years ago now. This year, they exploded in beauty. I was going to dig them up last year and burn them because they weren't producing. I thought, well, maybe something's wrong here. We had some ants in our flower bed, which is kind of, that's a normal thing. But I called the folks that come and treat our house, and they came out, and Melinda gave me a big bag of this stuff, and I just kind of sprinkle it out. Now, I don't have an ant problem now, but you know what? It was work. Work. Everybody say work.
Work.
How's it spelled?
W-O-R-K.
80% work to have beauty. 80% work to enjoy the moment. It's that 20% we rejoice in. You say, that just sounds negative, Pastor. No, it's not. If you understand this, the 20% can grow into 50, can grow into 100 and beyond if you're willing to pay the price, to seek after Him, require of Him, because that, my friends, is true success. Amen. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, I'm going to wait on the mind of the Lord. Don't let fear or pressure push you into a certain direction. Let His peace and His Word and the Holy Ghost guide you. Because God's wisdom, God's everything that you need. Don't let fear or pressure push you away from who He is. Remember, He's seldom early, but our God is never late. Amen?
Amen.
Did you learn something today?
Yes,
all right. Stand up on your feet. Let's pray. Thank you for letting me get it all in. I was concerned I was going to go two parts with this. Honest to goodness, that's the best word I ever heard in my life. I go back over those notes over and over and over and over and over. Something comes up, I go back and read a book of James. I go back and look at things. Brother Hagin always talked about the importance that the body of Christ developed their human spirit. This book is out there. There's three copies. I'm holding the third one. If you want them, go find them out there. And if you want this one, come get it. But most people skip this. They want the fluff, the glitter, and the goosebumps. But they don't want to develop patience. Victory always comes when you let Him be in command. Amen? You learned something today. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Amen. Father God, we just thank You right now for Your Word. Your Word is real. It's everything. We thank You, Lord, that You speak to us over and over and over through Scripture, showing us things to do, how to live, how to walk, how to talk, how to be in victory. We're so grateful for all You did for us by sending Your Son Jesus to die for us and deliver us from all of our sins, to set us free from the curse. Thank You, Lord. My God, we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. Blessed. Blessed in abundance of Your goodness. What a privilege it is to live for You. Oh, we thank You for that today. Thank You, Lord, we can walk in true success hearing from You over and over and over because we know You. Lord, just like You walked and talked with Adam in the cool of the day, now You walk and talk with us all the time because You're on the inside because of what Jesus did. What a privilege. May we not be so shallow that we forget You're always there. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. If you're in here this morning or if you're watching online, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, boy, today's a good day to do that. It's real simple. You just ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you of all of your sins. Ask Him into your heart. Live for Him all the days of your life. It's that easy. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. I don't care how bad you've been, how many mistakes you've made, or you're the rankest sinner on the whole planet. He loves you so much, He died so that you could be forgiven, cleansed, and made brand new. We call it being born again. Now, if that's you, why don't you ask Him into your heart right now? If you're not living for the Lord like you should, you need to recommit. Do it. Do it, do it, do it. And we'll all pray with you right now. Church, let's pray together. And if you're watching, if you're here, pray with us. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die for me, who shed his blood for me, who was raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my days for you. And I look forward to seeing you face to face. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer,